Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini. Is that computer giving you fits again?
Well, actually, my phone was giving me a problem. I actually wasn't able to get on the call. It kept saying the access code is incorrect. So here we go.
Oh, dear. Here we go. Thank you, Mercury.
All right. Our assignment from yesterday. How much of your life
Ashwini, that was underwater for me. I don't know if you can hear me, but that was underwater for me. Would you try that again?
How much of your life are you allowed to enjoy? Record and listen.
All right. Got it. Thank you.
Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. This is Pasha from San Francisco.
Hey, Pasha. Hey, Pasha.
What a powerful question. It's if you look at that way, it's allowed to enjoy. What came up for me was kind of a disbelief that somebody is allowing enjoyment.
Isn't that sobering? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when I look at my life, that's what I see, because there isn't like someone standing in front of me and like prohibiting the enjoyment, but there is that kind of a sleight of hands trick that loads my day and life with a busy that there is no time to enjoy. And
so much in that. It's not that we ever hear, nope, you cannot enjoy your life. That's not it, because that would work. We would catch on to that immediately, and we would do something to alter that. But instead, it just keeps us in. Now, it's not that we can't be very busy and still enjoying our lives, because we can enjoy anything. But what you're pointing at that's so subtle is conditioning pulls us into a semi-conscious state in which we are just focused on busy.
Yeah.
Not focused on, I'm really busy and I can enjoy being busy, which happens when we're actually present.
Yes, enjoying the busy and also having space to not busy. And for me, what came up was I live next to a big park.
And yes, you do. A lovely big park.
Lovely big park, and it was so important to find that place, you know, and to be next to the big park, and that was their desire and inspiration. But then actually taking time and going to a park, I see is taken away from me from all this busyness, as I'm hopping on a bike and passing by or driving by, or you know, and really taking time actually going to a park.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So when you decided where you wanted to live in the city, you knew you wanted to be close to the park, that is all of us, right? Because we get an image of ourselves living the life that we want to live. And so we make these choices, and then as you say, after having made that choice, you're not allowed to go there. You can you can drive past it, you can bike past it, you can probably even walk past it, but you don't have time to go in and actually live the experience that you saw for yourself when you chose to live there.
Yes. So my commitment is now to insert the park time in a busy schedule and also enjoy the busyness, finding the joy in the business for the rest of the day.
Yes, there you go. There you go. Good. I'm inspired by your commitment. I'm going to do the same thing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pasha.
Gosho.
Okay. Bye-bye. Gosho.
Thanks, Pasha. Sherry, can you hear me?
Yes, you sound very far away and muffled, but I can hear you.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring
There you are.
And there not you, talk now that you, much.
Now, okay, well, of course, when you make that decision, then you're loud and clear. So I don't know. Is it a plot? Who can say? But anyway, you were very clear right there. Okay, here we go.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rob.
Hello, Rob.
Hi. I like the Well, you know, it's funny. This is something that I've sort of been working with recently, which is that so basically ego doesn't allow me to, you know, enjoy my day. And mm-hmm. or you know, and so what I've been practicing, it's something that I had forgotten about, I guess, and but I heard it on one of my recordings, and I remembered, oh, I need to practice this, which is that wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, I try to bring love to the experience. You know, I try to It's because, you know, what's happening with conditioning is it's not so much, it's not even sort of like voices. It's just, it directs me towards the negative on a regular basis. And
yes.
By practicing.
And
I'm sorry, go on.
I just want to underline that because it's so important. What we're meant to get out of this is the way we're supposed to phrase it is, you know, I just don't allow myself to enjoy life. I just make choices for being busy instead. So all of the responsibility for that is on me. But what you're underlining again is, no, it's the voices in conditioned mind, or I am so programmed at this point that nobody needs to say anything to me. I just know that I don't get to enjoy life. So the second part of what you're saying is, when you choose, and shout out to recording and listening for that, right? When you turn attention to love, you have effectively cut off that system that has been controlling you.
Yeah. I find it, although I have to say, I find it, like, in theory, it sounds easy, but in practice, some things are easier to find. It's easier to find the love in some things than others.
That's exactly right, because we are so heavily programmed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So one of the, Ashwini, being raised in India, had this spice, I guess it is. She can tell us what it was, but that was the the most vile smelling thing I had ever encountered. Okay, it skunks. I can take it. You know, rotting anything, I could take it. But the smell of that stuff, I couldn't. But of course, it didn't smell nasty to her. It smelled good to her because she'd been smelling it since she was a little tiny kid. Right?
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the perfect picture of what we're up against. We have been so conditioned for so long that you, Rob, cannot possibly enjoy XYZ. It's just not possible. But what we're proving to ourselves in practice is that's not true.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite one that it just happened yesterday morning is, I was riding the subway, and it was like one of those days where it's like the car is really packed, and it's just everyone's miserable, and it's easy to just sit there and be like, oh, I got to get through this until I get off. And then I remembered. And then I look, and it's funny, you mentioned this about, like, I looked up. And suddenly it was just so fascinating to be in a really full car and you see the whole car shaking back and forth and everyone's standing there holding on to the pole and stuff. And the poles, like, there's just poles all over the place. I'm like, wow, it's like a forest. It became very fascinating and fun.
And then pretty soon you're the guy in the subway car who's looking around and smiling. And if anybody sees what you're doing, it affects them, whether they look down immediately and stick with miserable or not. That energy that you're bringing to that situation changes that situation dramatically.
Yes, it does. Sometimes I get startled because from that effect. You know, someone will look at you and they'll start smiling, and I realize, oh, I'm smiling.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And we just turned that belief system on its head. We've just proved to ourselves it's not true. I do not have to be miserable here, and I don't have to contribute to the joint ego misery. The shared ego misery. I don't have to participate in that. I don't need to be separate. I can be right smack in the middle of everything with my attention on something very different from misery, like love.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fun.
It's great. So whenever I remember, I practice it again. I want to remember it more.
So, yes, and it's a recording that you could listen to on the subway.
Yes. I do that
right?
sometimes too, of course. Yes.
Yeah. To help you remember, all right, the training is to be miserable here. I'm practicing not. I'm turning my attention to love. Okay, here we are. I'm smiling. I'm looking up and I'm smiling. Those are keys, aren't they? Ego has a really hard time when we're looking up and we're smiling. It's not getting the information that it needs to stay in control.
Yeah, and it's interesting. For me, I start to stand up straight, too, which is, in the subway, is particularly relevant because when I stand up straight, then I'm suddenly looking over everyone because, I'm tall enough that happens. And so I don't know.
Rising above.
It's very interesting. and you said about recording and listening, and I can't say that I enjoy it nearly as much as you and many people seem to enjoy it. But again, I remember, this is supposed to be a good thing. And if I keep working at this, I may get to the point that I really enjoy it. So,
yes.
So what I've
because,
been doing
Rob,
is, yeah.
Because what you're talking about is how that happens. Because
I have the experience.
That's right. And you're moving increasingly in a direction of, I like this guy. This is the guy I want to be on the subway with. I really like him. I like the way he sees things. I like his choices. I like what he's doing with his life. I really admire this guy. Oh, I love this guy. And as you increasingly move to that place,
Yeah, and it's subtle that now that you say that, when I try to bring love to the situation, you can't help but sort of love yourself in that part of that equation. It just sort of happens, like you just said.
Right. That's exactly it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So anyway.
Well, it's,
Well, I just wanted to say, so what I've been doing, and I have found it helpful to get up, and I used to, like, listen to music or I wouldn't listen to anything. And now it's like, I just put on the recording. I have it on, like, for the first hour of my day. And whatever's in there, I listen to, and it helps orient my whole day that way. And I have found it to be helpful. And you're right, I am getting to the point where this morning I could really only listen for a little bit of time because of my schedule, and I was, disappointed. I was like, I'm missing the thing that works so well for me. So that's
there
all.
There you go. That's it. Thank you for that testimonial. That is exactly how it works. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Rob.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rob. Oh, Sherry, that really brings me to that place of, we think that enjoyment is because of something. I enjoy this, or the situation is enjoyable. But mm-hmm. moving from that that attention on that process that is negative or negates all the time, when the attention moves mm-hmm. from that to presence, the experience is one of enjoyment and love because we're mm-hmm. present. And mm-hmm. it's not that, that whole example about learning to enjoy recording and listening is nothing more than all the barriers and resistance and ego involved in a particular, towards a particular content gets worn away, and then you're just with it. And when you're with anything, it's enjoyment. Not the enjoyment yeah. of ego, but the enjoyment of presence.
Yeah, you're enjoying, right?
Yeah.
We bring the enjoy to the situation.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And your point is particularly helpful, especially with what Rob was just talking about, because we only have to do that with one thing. It's not like we have to repeat it with every piece of content in our lives. It's a process. So when we mm-hmm. learn to enjoy, and recording and listening is a fabulous way to learn to enjoy, then we just enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, and it's that the thing that I find challenging is you say, I want to love a person or I want to enjoy a situation, and you're so deeply conditioned or you're listening to voices that situation is not inherently enjoyable to you. Or that person, mm-hmm. you can't move yourself to love them. But the point mm-hmm. is that that's a conditioned orientation. What we're really mm-hmm. going for is that process you're talking about, where you're not required to love a person or you're not required to enjoy a situation. You're just learning to enjoy, in the movement of the attention going from that negative process to being here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I'm learning to enjoy and love. That those are the processes that I am engaged in. It doesn't matter what the content is.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's a huge distinction.
Yes, and that's the bamboozle, is that it puts us into that place of how can I enjoy this when I'm cold and miserable, or how can I love this person whose behavior I don't agree with? And that actually mm-hmm. prevents us from being in the process of love and enjoyment, which has actually no object.
Yes, yes. Beautifully stated. Has no object. Is a process without object. Yes. Uh-huh.
All right, here's our next. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan.
Hello, Susan.
Hello. Hey. Yeah, I totally agree with what everybody's saying, because what I realized was I could enjoy cleaning out the garage. It's that I have things in boxes. These things I can enjoy and these I can't, because somehow they're inherently not fun, not good, not enjoyable. Yeah, I could enjoy cleaning out the garage. I could enjoy getting my passwords together on my computer. Things that I just think, oh, you'll hate that. That's no fun. That's not good. Susan,
yes. What you just said there is key. Oh, you'll hate that. Oh, you'll hate that, says the voice of ego, right? And what you're pointing at is, well, actually, no, I don't. Actually, I can enjoy anything, even though the voice really wants you to believe, oh, no, you'll hate that. Don't do that. No, you'll hate that. That'll be awful.
Yeah, and it's sort of, is that so? Is that true? Do I know beyond mm-hmm. a shadow of doubt that that's true? And if I can even give myself 15 minutes of doing it and suspending that belief, my experience mm-hmm. usually is. But, it's kind of this, stereotype, these things are fun and alive and all American mm-hmm. and successful, and then these things are boring and dull and they need you don't have a life. And do you know what I mean? There's this, these judgments mm-hmm. about experiences mm-hmm. and what's a good experience and what's bad. And like, oh, I'm the kind of person that stays home and cleans out her garage. Like, you know, so.
Oh, who wants to be that person?
Yeah, so it's judgment. And, you know, the other thing I realized, I have it in the world of spirituality, you know, this sort of, I can't enjoy spiritual practice because it's supposed to be effort and striving, and it's very Catholic. You know, it's unconscious, and I was looking at it and going, I do have a Catholic approach even to this practice, which can make it mm-hmm. unenjoyable because of that, those boxes. And
well, and it's because of that conversation, right? It mm-hmm. and again, what you're pointing at is how we are conditioned to believe mm-hmm. we are victims to circumstances.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to propose the possibility that that works so well for ego because since I assume that victim position, now, most people we know, if we said, if somebody said, so do you consider yourself a victim? Would say, oh, no, of course, no, I'm not mm-hmm. a victim. No, I'm the captain of my ship and the whatever it is, right? But what we uh-huh. believe is we are victims because I have to take care of this house. I have to go put gas in the car. I have to sort out the passwords on my computer. Now, every one of those is an unconscious, unexamined, oh, I am mm-hmm. such a victim in this situation. So what does that set ego up for? It means then that whatever ego suggests that I need as compensation, I get to have as mm. compensation. Because life mm-hmm. is such a struggle for me. I am such a victim to all of... And so what that does perfectly is put ego in charge of our lives. It says, you, I'm not responsible for my own experience. I am a victim to whatever comes yeah. across my path.
Yeah, and it weaves perfectly with the bamboozle around, I can't remember how it went, but it was something like, when I get all of this done,
yes.
then
yes.
I can relax and enjoy my life.
That's
Do you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
and
right.
all of
Yo.
This are or, sometimes
is your life.
Just ordinary. Yeah, it is my ordinary, pay the bills, go to the,
yeah.
like always waiting. And then it doesn't really work that way anyway, but that if then, it's mm-hmm. the perfect segue to that next bamboozle. Like one bamboozle does lead to another. One process
right.
may not lead to another, but one bamboozle always leads to another.
Yes, yes. And we can see the setup in it, right? So it actually takes our life away from us because it turns... the story is that my life is just one long series of boring, miserable things. And once in a while, I get to have something for myself, as if my life is not for myself.
Yeah, as if I didn't create it.
Yes, as if I'm not choosing it. And in a way,
yeah.
I'm not. If I'm in that unconscious program, I'm actually not choosing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is revolutionary stuff we're talking about here. I guess
it
that's
is.
What practice always is. Yeah,
yeah. And somewhere mm-hmm. when I got done with the whole thing, that's somewhere in here, and I haven't figured it all out because that takes effort. But there's some element of humility too, of just like a regular, ordinary, day to day stuff in life. That is life. It isn't waiting to finish that
yes.
so I can have. Do you know what I mean? There's like I'm just
oh,
a regular
I do.
Human being. Yeah,
I do. Yeah. And if you get into, so I'm a big fan, as most people are, but of the poet whose name is now escaping me, Mary Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a whole ton of folks of that ilk who will point mm-hmm. out that it's only when we recognize the beauty of being an ordinary person can we actually be present to the ordinary life that is the most extraordinary experience a human being can have.
Yeah.
Because we have to be here. We have to be here to really see the beauty, to feel, to experience the beauty of life. If we're off in our head about, as you say, you know, well, I'm going to get through all of this boring crapola today, and then I can sit down in front of the TV with a glass of wine and enjoy myself. I mean, how many people fall for that? And I've missed the birds and the trees and the flowers and the breeze and the, you know, all those things that songs are made up of. I've missed it all. I've missed it all in a process of hating my own life.
Waiting for something better.
Waiting for something good to happen to poor little me. All right.
Thank you. Just a little,
Well, we're going to
post it on my ordinary life.
Yes, and take a page out of Pasha's book, right? Okay, for the rest of the day, by golly, I'm going to be here and I'm going to enjoy this. Yeah.
Really, since I created it. All right. Thank you. Thanks, Annie.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Susan. Oh, that's so fun. I think it goes back to what Rob said, is how can I bring love to every task? Well, we were looking at this in group yesterday that, you know, there's a famous line from the Bhagavad Gita that says you could do every act in your life is an act of worship, an act of adoration, an act of wonder. That if everything is in service to the intelligence that animates, then what a different experience of doing a task, right? Because basically what that creative voice says is this task is not worth doing. It basically dismisses the divinity inherent in everything. And when we flip to love, bringing that love into the whole equation, then it's the Thomas Merton. It's the divine is shining through everything, and we can look at the absolute perfection of all that is.
Such a difference. To me, one of the very simple two practices a person can do to have an experience of this is every time your eyes light on something, just say, thank you, and I love you. And suddenly everything in our world becomes real to us because we're here in gratitude and love.
Well, that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. Our assignment for today, how are you kept from enjoying your life?
Well, we've got a lot of insights to bring to that question today, don't we? So that'll be good. All right. Thank you so much.
Everyone next week, hopefully.
Yep. If all goes well, see you Monday.
I know.
Take care, everybody. Our last week. Yeah. It just doesn't seem possible, but here we are. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Go happy.